right, children, come on and join me. Well, how's everybody today? Come on around here. All right. Well, I've got some books in this bag. Okay? Don't pay attention to this. A vitamin bag. But I've got some books in here that, but first let me ask you a question. What'd be a good book to help you to live your life?
Bible.
The Bible. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm going to look in here and I'm going to see if I can find the book. Okay. Oh, let's see. Here's the first one I got. What is that one, Will?
It looks like a copier manual.
Yeah, that's the manual for the Office Jet 7500A, the Getting Started Guide. And it's got some great information in it. That book gonna help me?
Yeah.
Well, it'll help me with that, with my printer, but maybe not with everything else. We'll put it aside there. Put it right there. Okay. Let's see. I'll get another book out of here. Up. Now this one I know. This is a big book. It ought to help me. What is it? What? Community phone book now, and it's for 2010 and 2011, the 16th edition. Man, that's got a lot of good stuff. I wonder how many of those numbers have changed in there in the last 4 years. But
it's like a magazine.
Well, now that book might help me with some of the stuff, but I don't know if it'd be the best book. Okay, let me look in here. I got another book. Let's see. Oh, here's one. Now, this is one of my favorite books in the world. It's written by, can anybody read that guy's name right there? A.W. Tozer. And it's called The Pursuit of God. Well, this book mentions God. This would be a good book, right? But is this the best one? What do you think's the best one?
Bible.
Oh yeah, that's the last book I got in here. Look at it.
That's a Bible.
Yes, that's right.
And it's the right one. There's different kinds of Bibles.
And this book is God's love letter to us. And it was written by men inspired by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy, it says it's God-breathed. And it has everything about life and about eternal life in it. I want to encourage you children. When I was just a little boy, I was y'all's age. My mother, After I learned to read, she would read the Bible. She and my grandmothers would read the Bible to me and my grandfather. They would read the Bible to me. And when I learned to read, they encouraged me to read it every day. And that's something I've tried to do my entire life. Every day, just like I would eat a meal, I would read the Bible, as God would feed my soul. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for these children. I pray that they will learn to love your word and hide it in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a book back.
Yes, I see that. Do you want this phone book? All right, put it in there. Your daddy can probably use that. My mom took me downtown when I was just 7, 8 years old to the bookstore. It was called the Baptist Bookstore then. It was the only bookstore in Savannah that sold Bibles and actually specialized in that. And she told me before we went down there, said, we're going to get you a Bible today. And so I was looking forward to getting a Bible that looked like a Bible that day. Guess what? She got me Egemeyer's Bible Story book. Because she realized that they were passing out those King James at that time. And though I was memorizing the King James Version, already memorized numerous verses by that time in my life, she said, I want you to have this in a language that you can understand and you can read. I still have that. Had some pictures in it. And then the next year or so, she got me a regular Bible. But she was thinking even then, she wanted me to understand the Word of God in my life. You know, over the last several weeks, we've been talking, and we're probably about 9 or 10 sermons deep in this, have been talking about hearing God's voice. I've been using 1 Samuel and Samuel's life and then what was going on in Israel at the time as kind of a foil to talk about the issue of hearing God's voice. And we got to see that God spoke in that time in Israel and to Samuel, spoke in his audible voice. Samuel got to hear that. Eli heard his audible voice. People who had been with God were speaking and speaking God's word, and people got to hear that. God spoke through circumstances during that time. There were physical manifestations that he spoke through. He spoke through signs and wonders, things that took place. His prophetic voice that came through his prophets at that time. He spoke through the weather. And I guess you could take by inference his written word, because what was in the Ark of the Covenant? The tablets from the finger of God. You could actually make a case for that. Today, I'm going to start this today. Hopefully, we'll finish next week. We'll talk about one of the specific ways that we hear from the Lord today, and in particular, as he speaks through his word, the Bible. How important is the word of God to you? God's written, revealed word. Turn with me, if you will, to the first Psalm. We're going to go to several scriptures today and kind of move fast. I encourage you to listen closely, and you may want to go back and listen to this one again later on. The first Psalm. And for some of you that ask from time to time, most of the time, this black one that I use is New American Standard. That's my favorite translation. But so that's what I most often use. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the law of Yahweh. And in his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, for they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked will perish. So what's he saying there about the about his word? His word, if we're planted in his word, We're going to be able to stand through whatever goes on in life. Let me ask you, are there any winds going right now that are beating you down? Are there any floods right now that are coming through your life that are overcoming you? Are there any storms that you're having to deal with? Well, like Brother Roy McLean used to say, cheer up. If it hasn't happened yet, you'll get the opportunity. They will come. Now turn to the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119. And turn to verse 105. How many verses in the 119th Psalm? Anybody know? There you go. Hundred and 176. Gonna come back to that in just a second. The 105th verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many times recently have you asked this question? Lord, if you just tell me what to do, I would do it. Been there? Well, you know what? I believe he's done a lot of telling right here, hasn't he? In this book. Now, something about the 119th Psalm, I'm not going to go into it in detail today, but you know, it has 22 sections, which happen to coincide with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And do you know that and they're divided in eight verses of each stanza. It's like a song that has 22 stanzas. You know what it's about? The theme through all of it is the Word of God. That's the theme. And Jews loved alliteration. They loved acrostics. So each verse starts with that letter of that section. Like the first one is the Aleph, last one is the Tav, and each verse starts in that section of eight verses starts with the Aleph. Isn't that neat? That God would go to such great pain. It's a memory tool, if you will. We use it today. Use the acrostic. That's part of the way I got through college and seminary. I could memorize lists of acrostics and these long lists of 10 or 15 things. I would make up a crazy word that had the letter that began. I'm giving away some of my secrets here. Help me get through school. I could just memorize the list of those words and it would key my memory. Here it is, right here. By the way, now I'm not going to charge anything more for this, but if you go over to, just to prove my point, John 19, turn to John 19. Verse 17, they took Jesus, therefore, they went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. And there they crucified him with him two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. Now verse 19, here's a key one. And Pilate also wrote an inscription. Pilate did this. Pilate wrote it. And he put it on the cross. And it was written in this way, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Okay. He wrote that. And he put it there. What's the big deal? Therefore, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, don't write the King of the Jews, but write, he said he was the King of the Jews. You know why they had such angst about that? Because those words, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, the starting letters of those four words were Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. The Tetragrammaton. The name of God. What was their angst about Jesus? That he claimed equality with God. How about that? Pretty slick, eh? So when you look at the 119th Psalm, and you see that right here in the middle, you open your Bible to the middle, and here you're likely to come to the 119th Psalm. Here it is, the Word of God. How important it is. That's kind of neat too, isn't it? That God would do that. Okay, now go to the New Testament with me. Go to Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, one of my favorite stories, not going to read the whole thing, but this is on the road to Emmaus. This is after the resurrection, and Jesus comes and is walking alongside these two disciples, Cleopas and the other disciple. And go down to verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. So he's dressing them down there. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. Would you have liked to have been in that Bible study? Huh? How about it? Where Jesus explains it to you? Get it from the horse's mouth. Oh, wait a second. Oh, stop for a moment. That still happens. Because guess what? The very Spirit of Jesus is here right now. The Holy Spirit. And unless He unveils the Scripture to us, we can't understand it. Now look what happens to these disciples. Verse 28. As they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther, they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. Do you think that's the only reason why they want him to stay? Man, he's whet their appetite. Man, they're wanting more and more. Come on, I want more. So he went in to stay with them. Verse 30. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it, and breaking it, he began to give it to them. And what happens? When he breaks the bread, his identity is revealed. Do you see that? Do you see the picture of that? As he has revealed himself as the crucified Son, the one who's poured out his life for us. He's revealed his identity. Their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and then he vanished from their sight. Look what they said, the postscript. They said to one another, let's go for another walk. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us. They got up that very hour, they returned to Jerusalem, and they found gathered together the 11 and those that were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he had how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. You see how important the Word is? One more, quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Remember, all the T's are together. Chapter 3. Verse 14. You, however, continue in the things that you've learned, become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, it's the Word of God, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So who's revealed in the Scripture? Jesus, Yeshua, is revealed in the Scripture. All Scripture is theonoustos, inspired, God-breathed, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man, woman, boy, or girl of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Let me tell you, the answer to life are in this book. The answer, as the Holy Spirit of God reveals this Word, God will speak to you. God went to great pains to reveal His Word. Think of it. Think about how He put this book together. Over a period of almost 2,000 years, all the different styles of writing that are here, the different people that He used to speak through and use their personality, the integrity and the consistency. Here you have people who lived in different generations, and yet the Scripture is consistent. You have 66 books, 66 different books. There's no other book like it. It's been a challenge in every generation. People have tried to denigrate this book in some way, to chisel, to put a hole in it. You know, I accept this as the inspired Word of God. God breathed it. And I've lived long enough now that I've seen the detractors that I read when I was in my teens and 20s that were taking shots at it then about things about which they were ignorant. And history and archaeology has proved them wrong. Again and again. We see that unfolding, archaeological discoveries that are continuing to make this book absolutely true in every detail. Attacks have come from the outside, but then attacks have come from the inside also, of so-called believers wanting to pick and choose. In fact, they call it the spot theory of inspiration. You ever heard of that? The spot theory of inspiration. It's where I get to choose the spots that I'm going to live by and discard the rest. I hate to say it, but that was Thomas Jefferson's view of the Word. Portions of the Scripture he had cut out. Now, Thomas Jefferson was a deist. He believed that there are great things that Jefferson, that I happen to totally agree with, and all the things that are part of that. He was not a perfect man, though, especially when it came to the Word of God. He said some good things about the Word, but then there are other parts he wanted to take away. Now, how does God speak through the Bible? How does he speak to you? Well, he's personally present. Because you see, here when we open this book, we're not figuring it out on our own. We have the Holy Spirit. He is interpreting that. Let me make a guarantee for you. If you open this book up every day and read, I guarantee you, God will apply it to your life. That's a guarantee. He'll bring things to bear. I know that I could, and you could pop up and give testimony today. So many of you, something that you, some obscure passage that you read in the morning in your morning devotion in your quiet time, and by the end of the day, God showed you why you read that. It's His Word. It's clear and plain. Within the Bible, there are all different kinds of literature. It's poetry. There's songs. It's musical. It's history. It's letters. It's parables. It's prophetic. It's eschatological material. It's all the kinds of literature, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. There's science. There's biography. It is from His mouth to your ears. Do you treat it as such? We keep asking, Lord, show me, show me. And He keeps saying, I have, I have, I have. It is daily food for your soul, just like I shared with kiddos. Food for your soul. How often do you get hungry? Physically. I kind of like something every day to eat, don't you? And it's that way with the Word of God. God wants us to feed on His Word. And you know, by the time you get to a certain place in your Christian growth, God shouldn't have to poke a baby bottle in your mouth. You ought to be able to chew. You ought to be able to devour. The Scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. We spend time with Him and spend time in His Word. Not studying as some academic exercise, but saying, Lord, I want to hear from You. Speak to me through Your Word. It's a perfect Word in time of crisis. How many times have you been going through the pains of the soul and you go to His Word and there is that specific Word for you? Just for you, in your language. It's your aid to prayer. Sometimes when we can't pray, that's why I love the Psalms. The Psalms are like acted out prayers. The psalmist is so honest about life. You know, I'm aggravated. That wasn't the word I was going to say right then, but I'm aggravated right now. You know, whatever your word is for that. I'm just agitated right now. He would say that. You know, the point is you're saying it to the Lord. You're unveiling your heart. It's instruction on how to live. Does it address everything we're going through in the world right now? Every single thing. Yes, it does. They didn't have the technology back then, but the principles are there. Those principles that He speaks to us and through us. It's the basis of any code of law that works in the earth. Why has this 240 year experience we've had in our democratic republic. Why does our code of law, our system of jurisprudence, you go back to Magna Carta and you go back historically and you see all these things that happen. Our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, you look in there and it's not like this stuff is hidden in there. It's there out in your face. It screams that it came right out of this book. Boy, if you've never listened, that when Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu, spoke at our Congress and later spoke about his walk around the Capitol in Washington, D.C., you need to listen to that. Here is a Jew who is in another country talking about what great things God did here. You see, we must have the Word of God every day. How do you use the Word of God in your daily life? Well, number one, which is the best translation out there? Huh? The one you'll read? That's right. People ask me that all the time. I said, well, just pick one out that you like. Why don't you start there? And I like one that I can actually read that has the words in it that are big enough. And it's my generation, but, I read a lot of it on a tablet, a Surface device, and on my iPhone, and on my computer. I read a lot of it there. But man, when me and Jesus are just getting down, getting right, I want to have my hands on it. I want to have my hands on it. But that may not float your boat. You may want to have your hands on some device. That might be the thing for you. Doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, the bottom line is, read the Word. Read the Word. Let me tell you about the principle of integration. Get this? The principle of integration. I'm not talking about race relations. I'm talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit, when you read, will integrate this Word into your life. He will bring application. He will speak to you. He will speak through you. We need to study it. We need to read it devotionally. We need to read it in snippets. We need to read it in the whole. We need to read it in context. We need to meditate on it. We need to memorize it. We never need to stop memorizing. We need to check out every word of man by this book. We're not going to talk about this as much today, but any word spoken, prophetic word, or I've got a word for you from the Lord, I've got a prophetic, I believe in all of that, practice all of that in my life. But let me tell you, those words cannot conflict with this Word. You know what happens to those words when they conflict with this Word? Adios. Sayonara. I didn't say that right, did I, Don? Goodbye. And I can't say it in Chinese. What's goodbye in Chinese? Sai Chin? Okay. I've added another one. See, all of the wags, you know, they got. It falls by the wayside. It's got to be a part of your life. Not carrying it around like. I had this guy, this friend of mine one time, he said, you know, Dusty said, I just don't understand why people have such a problem with me. When he went to work every day, I said, that's why the Lord said, hide it in your heart so that you can live it out. He wasn't offended by the word. He was offended by the cover on that book. Another friend of mine, he said, you know, people just, they never want to talk to me about the Bible. And the size Bible, he had a family Bible he kept on his desk at work. And I thought, well, you know, that might work in some places, but why not move into it more naturally? You know, it's kind of like this other guy. His idea of evangelism was to hide around the corner with a tripwire, and when he tripped them up, stick a gospel tract in their pocket. And he called that evangelism. The Word of God. How much time have you spent last week in this book? How much time? And sometimes just to open it and say, Lord, speak to me. To do systematic study, but also to do devotional. There's some great tools that are available today. You say, oh, I want to hear from God. God, speak to me about my life. Speak. And you got to wipe the dust off of His Word. What are you telling God? His love letters to you. All right, that's all I've got to say today. If you'd like to pray with one of the pastors, someone, before you leave today, we'll be available to you. Someone asked me, said, Dusty, sometimes we don't have a ministry time at the end because it's not time for it. It's not time for it right now. Time for us to meditate on what you've heard today. What are you going to do about it? I tell you, when you read and you apply in your life, it will change your life. Just like those Pharisees, they saw Pilate, the instrument of the Lord, posting that Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And what were they seeing? Yahweh, the Son of God. Let me pray for you. Do you have needs today? Do you have things that are beating you up? Is the evil one on your trail? What's going on in your life? Do you need deliverance? Do you need salvation? Do you need help in your business, in your family, or relationships? Let's come to Him. He has a word for you. Lord, we intercede right now for all the needs. And Lord, as I'm praying right now, Lord, I feel needs. Needs that you have revealed. Discord in families. Angst at the job. Families that just need to be together. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit. Come and do your work. Come right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As you leave today, we'd like to get those cards from you. And if you have an offering to bring to the Lord, especially that person, one of you told me earlier you had a $1 million check. And you said, just hold it till tomorrow. So we'll make sure, we'll wait till tomorrow afternoon, make sure all the funds clear. But make sure you put that in. Was that you, David? That was you. Okay. But see, David understands that because that means if he's got $1 million, what did the Lord give him?
10 million.
10. You got God's math. We're done.